Touchdown, Los Angeles.
You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team.
Rams Nation. What's happening? What's good? It's your boy Bear Motter of Rams Podcast, but this is Locked On Rams. Friday edition. It's your boy Bear holding it down solo today. We're going to kind of recap a few things. Probably my favorite show ever, Behind the Grind, is back. They're going to drop 10 episodes this season, so we've got 9 to go. The first one just dropped tonight. I'm actually recording about 7:30 p.m. because I just waited. I had to watch this first episode. It was 30 minutes. Usually they're about 15 or 17 in that range, but obviously they had a lot to recap from the Super Bowl. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to check in with Cooper Kupp because they kind of did a highlight on him and how he's doing. So we're going to play a couple clips from there. Got a couple interesting things that I saw the other day that I want to share with you guys as well. Adam Schefter jumped on a live broadcast with Field Yates, who was kind of doing a Twitter show. Bill Barnwell also joined them, and they had some interesting conversations, including a question from somebody in the Rams organization, an unnamed source. But Adam Schefter threw out a great question, and I'm going to kind of talk about it today. And then we're going to continue to talk about free agency, some of the names swirling around with the Rams and whatnot. Guys, again, don't forget to go give us a follow. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook group. Lockdown Rams, all accounts. LA _ Rambling Bear is my personal. You can find the show on Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts. Remember, when you jump in your car, just ask your smart speaker. Play podcast, Lockdown Rams. Boom, you know how Bluetooth works. We are live and in your speakers on your morning drive to work or on your drive home. Lockdown Rams, only on the Lockdown Podcast Network, your team every day. You know the deal. Also, while we're doing all the follows, check out the Lockdown NFL account. That's Lockdown NFL Net on Twitter and Instagram, as well as Lockdown NBA Net. What they've done is they've taken all of our hosts around the league and they put it into one thread, one feed for you guys to stay up to date. So we've got tons of amazing podcasts. I know I talk about it all the time, but at this time of year, you'll really want to be listening also to Matt Williamson, Locked On NFL. We've got the Draft Dudes on our network. We also have Locked On NFL Draft. Both those shows have amazing hosts, have amazing content. They're doing mock drafts. We're going to continue to try to get some of those guys on here over the next couple weeks. We've been doing kind of a local podcast series, bringing all these different podcasters on. So if there's someone you want me to talk to, hit me up, DM me, tag me with that person. Let's bring some people together, man. I'm all about talking to people, getting some more people on the show. That's going to kind of be my goal moving forward, is kind of reach out. We're looking to have Mike Cahill, who is Pro Football Focus representation for the Rams. So we'll have him on and we'll kind of talk about some Pro Football Focus stuff and pick his brain on some of the things going on with the team and how the numbers look and, you know, what it looks like moving forward next year and what a great season we had last year. So all that out of the way, we'll start to get into some stuff, and I'll start with kind of a little mini review of Behind the Grind, aka my favorite show, right up there with Game of Thrones, which, by the way, is around the corner coming in April, which I cannot wait for. In fact, I think I'm going to be on a trip that Sunday. I don't know what I'm going to do. Got to figure it out, though, because I can't be behind. All right, sorry, that's a mini dilemma that I'm just now dealing with. But Behind the Grind previewed today, their first episode this season. And I'll just cut right to it. It was awesome. It brought you through a roller coaster of emotions because they kind of recap the Super Bowl. The first 15 minutes is really kind of going back at the Super Bowl. They started and they did a little profile on McVay in his high school days and kind of flashback in between the game. They did a little bit of the special teams unit, how they came together back in St. Louis all around the same time, and the big kick that really got us to the game. So that first 15 minutes was pretty tough, not going to lie. You know, they did this whole recap of the season. They brought you up to the big game. We know all the excitement, all the stuff we talked about here on the show and nationally for 2 weeks about this team and what they could do offensively and how the matchups of coaches were going to be and young quarterback, old quarterback. And then 3 points, right? We all remember it all. It still hurts a little bit. I'm finally moving forward past this, but it was a little tough to watch that recap in that first 15 minutes. But they knew what they were doing. They had to tell the story. And then they flipped the script. The second half was kind of what's next, right? They kind of brought us to the combine. We got to hear Les Snead and Sean McVay talk about the future and how last year was a success and some of the things that they did that give them encouragement moving forward. So it was kind of a really turning of the page moment there in the show. And then we got to kind of catch up with Cooper Kupp, which was super fun. And in fact, I want to play some clips. I'm not going to ruin the whole show for you guys. Go back and check it out. Make sure you guys watch it. It was awesome. But here's a couple favorite clips of mine. Hearing Cooper Kupp talking about his recovery process, as well as hearing from Byron Cunningham, who's the rehabilitation and assistant athletic trainer, kind of what his outlook is on Cooper Kupp. So here's kind of a mixed bag of some clips from Behind the Grind. Cooper Kupp on his way back.
I don't think you process it as like, you know, the first time they say, okay, like, you know, we think you've got the ACL. At the time they told me, you know, as I'm trying to process these things, they actually let Anna and my son back down into the training room and being able to see them and really just seeing like my son's face just light up when he sees me and smiling. You know, he doesn't know what's going on, but you know, just kind of put things in perspective. I'm extremely blessed to be where I am and to do what I do, sitting here in this training room with this injury for a reason, and there's going to be great things to come from this. Within a few weeks after the injury, I told Reggie I want to do something. Just to start off, I want to do high-intensity interval training stuff, because I felt like that was something that some of the hormones that it releases could be good to help speed up this recovery. So I, you know, was just doing upper body, you know, trying to get blood flow, heart rate up, and you know, it feels good to know that, you know, I'm getting pushed. I come in here every day knowing that it's going to be a challenge. But I like to think they have to, you know, hold me back more than they have to push me. But they're doing a good job of, you know, making sure that progress keeps going forward. I'm going to say this injury has taught me patience. You have to take it step by step. You got to take it slowly. You got, as good as you feel, you have to, you know, check the boxes all the way up to through this 9-month mark has kind of given me a new perspective and has refreshed how important those things are.
Right now, he's in more so the strength phase of his rehab, and he's also starting a run progression. This is only his third day running on the field. He's running twice a week, so he'll run again on Thursday as well. But everything now is basically a straight ahead focus, just trying to get him to reestablish his running pattern. I wouldn't necessarily say he's on time or on pace. You know, Kupp is right where he needs to be. He's doing a phenomenal job with his rehab. He's a great listener. He pays attention to detail, and he's a hard worker. And that makes my job so much easier.
So you have it, kind of a inside look at the recovery of Cooper Kupp in Cooper Kupp's words. And Byron Cunningham was the last voice that you heard, rehabilitation and assistant athletic trainer for the Rams. And you got to be encouraged if you're a Rams fan, listen to that. One, you got to love Cooper Kupp. He's the type of guy, and I know this is very cliche, but that can bounce back from this type of injury, that it's the hard worker, the stick your head down, go forward, and get better every day type of guy. It sounds like McVay, the verbiage you hear, talking about patience, talking about checking off the boxes one at a time and going through the process. I love one of the things he said about the rehabilitation, and they have to hold me back more than they have to push me, which you gotta love. And that just kind of embodies the Cooper Kupp mentality, if you will. 4 months into his rehabilitation, he's still got a long way to go, but Sean McVay said at the combine last week that they do expect him to be around for OTAs. They're not going to push him at that point either, but when camp opens up, we should have Cooper Kupp back, which is going to be a huge help, man. We needed him in that Super Bowl, and even watching these two things put together, it kind of opens your eyes again about what that offense might have been like if Cooper Kupp was healthy for that game. Having him as an extra relief valve for Jared Goff would have been great in that game, but it wasn't the case. So you got to move forward and look at what's next. But I love it. I thought those were some of the great clips that I love from kind of the inside glance of Cooper Kupp. Guys, make sure to go check out Behind the Grind. It's on Facebook. If you don't have Facebook, make a fake one. Get on there. Jump on, check it out. Just go to the Rams homepage. They've got a whole section there, a channel going for Behind the Grind. But what we're going to do is we're going to step aside. We're going to take a break. We're going to get some words from some sponsors. I'm going to be back Friday edition, Lockdown Rams. Your boy Bear breaking it down right after this.
Underneath our feet.
All right, Rams Nation, we are back. Second segment, Lockdown Rams Friday. Appreciate you guys joining us this week. Tuesday through Friday, it's kind of become our schedule. I'm going to jump on occasionally on a Monday. If I can get a guest or somebody that wants to come on and chat, we'll throw it down for 5 days a week. But most likely, we're going to do about 4 days a week throughout the offseason. We've got tons to get to, man. Free agency is still going crazy right now. Obviously, we know the noise that the Giants made and the Browns with the big trade of Odell, but the Giants came out today and went and got Golden Tate on a 3-year deal, lots of money. If you didn't see, Golden Tate kind of put out a spoof of a Jerry Maguire scene, "Show me the money," which is actually pretty funny, and he just got paid. So I would be in a good mood too if I was him. But the Giants, what are they doing, man? I don't get it. Just when you think they're almost pre-tanking this year, they go and pay some big money to a big-time wide receiver that was still out there that potentially could help them. You know, as you're looking at their offense, they still have Saquon Barkley. They still have Sterling Shepard, Ingram at tight end. Maybe they go draft that quarterback that everyone's been waiting for them to go get. A few guys in that top-tier quarterback that are interesting. Obviously, Kyler Murray is getting a lot of the attention, but there's Haskins coming out of Ohio State that can get a pretty good number out there as well in the draft. So we'll see what the Giants do and if they're, you know, committed to Eli. I can't imagine too much longer, but they're still in a semi-rebuild mode. I don't know. They're really confusing. It just makes me feel a lot better about our organization and what we're going to do here. So we'll continue to talk about that in the third segment on things and what can happen still with the Rams and the free agent market and the draft and those type of things. But I did want to get to something I kind of teased earlier in the show. I was kind of watching Field Yates on Twitter. He's just had his first ever basement Twitter live show or whatever they were trying to call it, where they were kind of recapping the NFL free agency market so far. So Yates was joined by Adam Schefter and Bill Barnwell of ESPN, and they were kind of just going off the dome and just kind of talking about stuff that was coming to and all the news that was happening. And you know, they asked Adam Schefter how many hours of sleep he's gotten, and he admitted that at that point of the night that he was almost loopy, that he had gotten, you know, no sleep, and the last few days have just been madness for him. But he pitched a question out to Bill Barnwell, which I'll play here in a second. The reason why he did is he wrote an article earlier in the year kind of talking about a scenario in which the Rams could trade Jared Goff, get out of that contract, and look to rebuild with a new quarterback. And that would be a creative way to get around the salary cap and keep working with a lot of the money that they've given to other guys and still have a chance to continue to bring talent in. So I'm going to play the clip, then we're going to talk about it because I found it interesting because the question came from inside the Rams building. But here's the clip, not the best audio quality, but hang with me and we'll get through it.
I know we're talking quarterbacks. I want to ask Bill a question. Is that possible?
Please, go for it. Yeah,
I don't know the format of the show. Bill, is it possible that the Rams are going to trade Jared Goff this offseason?
I don't think they're going to trade Jared Goff, Adam, but it's a fascinating idea. No one's ever actually going to be brave enough to do it. Yeah. And I wouldn't trade Jared Goff if it were up to me.
Yeah.
But when you have a team that has so many assets at different parts of the field, you know, you have Todd Gurley making big money. You have wideouts who are making big money. You have defensive players who are making big money. You can do that because you have Jared Goff making a fraction of his actual value. And at some point, the script is going to flip, or you're going to have Jared Goff making a ton of money, $30 million a year probably, as their starting quarterback. They're going to have to make cutbacks elsewhere. And at some point, some team is going to say, hey, why don't we just stick with all these really valuable players to other spots and trust that we have a great head coach who's going to find, draft, and develop a quarterback every 4 or 5 years.
Well, let me say this to you, Bill. Again, I've never been invited to be on Field's Twitter show. I don't even, when I
it's
sat
the
down,
first one.
When I sat down, to be honest with you, I didn't even know where this is going, who's watching. But somebody in the Rams' offices is actually watching right now.
And how about
they,
that?
And they said, ask Bill if he thinks we should trade Jared Goff. So I figured, why not just ask that question? And I didn't realize people were watching. So to everybody watching, I had no idea. My apologies. I didn't know what I was. I didn't know whether this was like, you know, what's my brain is so fried. What's Wayne's World? Like the two guys sitting in the basement. Like, you know, I was going to be into Field Yates' basement here. Doing that kind of thing, but obviously there are people watching.
Well, if you want to amplify, we got the link to tweet out. If you want to invite more and more executives,
you want
to
take my phone and do that, you know, have at it. Like, I wouldn't know how to create the link. Yeah.
All right. Again, that was Adam Schefter, Field Yates, and Bill Barnwell talking the other night on their live show, or what Shefty said, their edition of Wayne's World in the basement. I love it because he did say at the beginning he was pretty loopy and out of it, and he kind of seemed like it. He didn't really care. I love how he also was talking about, I don't even know what I'm doing. I don't know who listens to this. Can't believe that, you know, people in the organization are actually watching. He just sounds shocked that anyone actually cared at this point. But we are so engulfed in this NFL free agency that tons of people are listening. My question is, who is that guy in the Rams organization that's throwing out the question, will the Rams trade Jared Goff? Obviously, that person in the organization knows that Bill wrote that article earlier in the year, and they probably scoffed at it in the organization. Because if you listen to Les Snead, and we've played clips of him and Sean McVay talking about how much they love Jared Goff and that these two working together are just growing year after year. So, yes, I do think that they're going to pay him, like Bill said, $30 million plus when that time comes. We talked about that yesterday with Derek Siapala. What are we going to do with Jared Goff, and how is that going to handcuff us moving forward, and how much money are we truly going to have over the next couple of years, and Les Snead's going to have to get creative, and this is a super creative way to go about it. And if you really believe that Sean McVay is the quarterback whisperer or this offensive genius guru, then that's one plan. And honestly, people might get mad at me. I'm interested in it. I want to hear more. I want to know what they would fill in with Jared Goff. I mean, if a guy like Kyler Murray comes out, or Haskins in this draft, they don't really excite me. But if you start telling me that we can go out and get all these big studs on the defense side of the ball, or more guys like the talent of Odell Beckham Jr., not him in particular, but that you're going to get the next wave of those big-time players, and the way to do it is by not paying the quarterback a lot of money and continue to do that young quarterback drafting. Yes, it's risky. Yes, I know even me talking this out loud, I'm telling myself I sound stupid, but it's a creative way. I'd like to hear more. I'd like to hear how it actually would be executed, but it's not going to happen. We know that. We know that they're really high on Jared Goff, and you don't draft a guy at number one that goes and wins back-to-back NFC West champions, that takes you in his third year and goes and wins an NFC championship and goes to the Super Bowl. You just don't do that. That number one pick was right. You got it right. Yes, you can go back and look at Carson Wentz in that draft and which way they would have gone. And, you know, Carson's dealt with a lot of injury. Would that have happened if he was here in LA? Who knows? But if you look at it purely on the standpoint alone of what the Rams got at that pick, Jared Goff sat almost his whole first season, finished the season under a special teams coach as a head coach, comes out year two with Sean McVay, wins 11 games, goes to the playoffs, comes back, wins more games, goes to the playoffs, all the way to the Super Bowl. You call that a good pick. You look at the picks that we gave up to Tennessee. They didn't do much with it. Not a lot of big-name players came out of their picks that we gave up. And we were still able to pick up guys like Cooper Kupp, John Johnson III, Gerald Everett. So we were able to come out after giving up picks and not picking till late in the drafts in the last 2 years and still be able to get good players. So interesting conversation that happens. I'm really curious. I know that it was thrown out there because of they knew the article and they wanted to hear this guy talk about it. But I'm curious, who was that in the Rams organization that has Shefty's number that's texting with them? Is it Les Snead? Is it somebody else? I don't know. But I found that interesting. I was watching it and my ears just kind of perked up because we just talked about it yesterday about the quarterback and the money. So good stuff coming there. What we're going to do is we're going to take a break. We're going to step aside. We're going to come back third and final segment. We're going to throw it down. We're going to get you to the weekend. We'll be back next week with some more Rams coverage as things are definitely going to happen over the weekend. So we'll have plenty to talk about. And we're going to start to look towards the draft as this free agent market starts to thin out. But we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. More on the other side right after this. Now I'm strong enough for both of us. Both of us. Both of us. Shoulders, tell me what you see. All right, Rams Nation, we are back. Third and final segment. Lockdown Rams, Friday edition. I wanted to say hype edition there, man. I missed the hype edition. Not going to lie. Missed the hype edition. Missed my tall coffee. Miss Serena Morales here. We're going to have to give her a buzz, see if she wants to come back, catch up with us on one of these Friday shows. Tell us all the things that are happening inside the organization. Obviously, I talked to you earlier about behind the grind, but they're starting to give us a peek back there. But I love to get our inside source back, talk about some things. So maybe I'll have to reach back out to her and get that going because I missed the hype edition. But let's keep this thing going. Let's pick up where we left off, or let's just jump onto the next topic. I saw some rumors today, another Adam Schefter report that he was on, I don't know, ESPN or whatever it was, and he was talking about the Clay Matthews market and what that looks like right now. And he listed the Rams, or named the Rams, as a potential suitor. If you're not aware, Clay Matthews is a Southern California guy, so he has a home out here in California in LA. He is now a free agent. He's 32 years old, been in the league for a long time. He's had a lot of production over the years, but that production has definitely slipped. Packers were done paying for him. He was with them for the last 10 years. But if you look at the numbers, you know, I mean, early in his career, 10 sacks, 13 and a half, 13, 11 back in 2014. And then the production starts to slip. 6, 5, 7 and a half in 2017, 3.5 sacks last year. 43 tackles, a step slower every year. The long hair still looks good flying out of the helmet. He's one of those guys that has kind of that, I don't want to say animalistic approach to rushing the quarterback, but he flails everywhere. He's always giving up his body and pushing people over and getting back up and leaning this way, leaning that way. Aggressive linebacker, but he's 32. He was drafted in the first round, 2009, 26th overall pick, but he's just not that player he was a handful of years ago for the Packers. There's some interest with the Rams because he's probably going to come pretty cheap. The question is, do we want him? I don't know. I don't know that answer right now. The thing is I have, you know, growing up in the Chicago area, watching Clay Matthews and the Bears and Packers rivalry for a long time, you had respect for the guy. He kind of was like that Brett Favre of the defense. Of you hated him, but you had to respect him because his talent. He was always there. He was always making a play. He always made a big play when they need it. Put a lot of pressure on the quarterback. So there's a part of me that nostalgically I'm thinking, oh, Clay Matthews, late in his career, cheap, just like Weddle. Maybe that's a good fit. But you got to look at the numbers. You got to look at the actual production, and that's where I start to get confused because I think Weddle still has it, right? Weddle's drop off a little bit, but there's still, again, he's got that great leadership back there that's going to help John Johnson. He is such a smart player that you still have faith that he can, you know, put those guys in the right positions and, again, continue to make plays. It hasn't dropped off as much. So Clay Matthews is an interesting one. I'm not sure where I want to lean on this. And I know people are saying, dude, you're sitting on the fence, man. Jump one way or the other. I wouldn't be as mad as I've seen some people on Twitter if he got signed, because we're getting down to this nitty gritty. And yes, you got to get smart about where you're putting your money. We talked about it, probably about $5 million left after we sign those rookies that we're going to draft here in the upcoming draft. You still probably want to save some money for CJ Anderson if that's an option that you want to look into. And the idea is that you go and pick up when all these free agents, they always say that the guys that get signed on the first day of free agency or on that tampering period now, those aren't the good deals. Everyone's overpaying. That's when the market is at its highest, right? You want to let things cool down to pick up some of these veterans on the one-year deal, the guys that no one was going after or that they were set at trying to sell their market higher, and the NFL basically said, no, we're not paying that. So it comes down and down and down. And all of a sudden, everyone's willing to pay $1, $2 million a year for a player. And now it's up to him to figure out where I want to go. And maybe some teams aren't even in at that price. But I think Clay Matthews is going to come cheap, and that's one of the reasons why I'm leaning towards kind of liking him. That, again, when you get into a new environment, you kind of get re-energized. You're playing with other guys around you that, you know, went to the Super Bowl, and you got Aaron Donald on your side. So you start to think, all right, that makes my job that much easier. I just got to do one thing. Instead of being the guy, I now have to focus on my one thing, which is pressure the quarterback. And now trying to fit more into a role on a team instead of trying to be the team on the defense. So that's probably why I would lean towards more okay with it than not okay with it. If he goes somewhere else, fine. If we end up getting him, I think that's how I sell myself on liking it, is going, this is a new spot. Everyone's telling him that he's over. He's got everyone, or a lot of people in the LA media saying, ugh, old, slow guy, past his prime. Packers didn't want him. Oh, you're giving him $1 million, $2 million. Well, obviously, he's not good enough. Got all that going for him. Then he gets in with Wade Phillips, who's just an awesome coach. Players coach, gets with Tlaib, Weddle, some of these older guys that are going to push him, find some of that youth in him, and bring back some production. So I'm interested, to say the least. Again, it all comes down to the price. Rams don't have a ton of money. They're not renegotiating Brocker's contract. We kind of talked about that yesterday, about the potential for that. But I think Les Snead has been pretty clear that that's something that he's not going to do. And our buddy Vinny Bonsignor kind of brought up a good point, and he tweeted this out today. I'll read that. And he says, I don't think some fans fully understand the concept that whatever money amount you convert from salary into bonus money to create space is going to charge it to your cap at some point. Sometimes when even the player is no longer on the team, which hurts and pisses off your boss slash owner. So as for us to say, oh, just move the contract around a little bit, it's still going to have some effect on the roster at some point, whether it's now or later. So do you want to do that with Michael Brockers? Yeah, me, Derek, probably a lot of us are out here going, yeah, let's renegotiate. Let's get some money now. But you're still at some point going to have to pay for that in one form or another, right? So it is what it is. We got a pretty darn good roster right now. You hold out. You stand patient. You wait for some of these veterans to come around and go, man, McVay, Wade Phillips, Aaron Donald, Todd Gurley. I've had a 10, 11-year career. I got plenty of money. Why not? Let's take that 1 year, $1 million deal. Let's go try to win a Super Bowl. So we'll see how it all works out. I think I talked myself into liking Clay Matthews as a Ram. I don't know. We'll see. We'll talk about that more as we continue to go. But that's all we got for you today. Friday episode, Locked On Rams. Your team every day, only on the Locked On Podcast Network. Again, make sure to go follow us on Twitter, Locked On NFL Net, Locked On NBA Net. We're about to release our baseball channel as well. We got about 20 to 25 baseball podcasts that are about to be released next week. So stay tuned for that. NCAA, we got about 15 schools going right now. So if you got one of your universities outside of California, because I don't think we have UCLA or USC yet, but go check it out. Give us a follow. Give me a follow, LA underscore Rambling Bear. We're going to start to involve you guys a little bit more. I got to get back to Facebook. Got to start getting some mailbag questions out on Twitter as well. So reach out to me if you want to hear something on the show. I got to get you guys a voice again. And we were doing Big Ups Tuesday for a while, so I got to get you guys back into this thing. I appreciate, as always, you guys listening. If you really like it, go the extra step. Hit the subscribe button. Go on to iTunes. Leave a review. Give us a 5-star. It helps us boost up, so we appreciate that, as always. But you know what it is, Rams Nation. Until next time, peace. Shoulders, tell me what you see. 'Cause I am.